usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Michael Colace. Hey, Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Stan. Thanks for having me on the program again.
Well, now, this is an entirely different audience, so you can go ahead and repeat what we've said before. And of course, Michael is a director and producer. He's done motion pictures in the past, but he became involved in doing a very unusual motion picture, and I had the privilege of playing a small part in that, and it's called The Rape of the Soul. And it sounds pretty dramatic. The trouble is, it really is very dramatic, and it's based upon years of research going into this concept of embedded imagery. And I'm going to let you tell our listeners what embedded imagery is really all about.
Well, essentially, for many years, actually centuries, artists, and I'm speaking as an artist, would actually embed images inside their artwork. In other words, plant imagery, usually sexual or demonic imagery, inside mainly religious paintings or sculptures of this nature, and plant them in a way where you would not see them consciously, where you would see them only subconsciously, and it affects you in a subconscious fashion. And the artist who did this normally did not like the church back all the way into the 12th century. And it's something that's not taught, but as artists we know that it's done. It's so effective that literally billions and billions of dollars every year is spent on it in advertising, especially for alcohol-related ads, tobacco ads, that kind of thing, and other advertisements as well. But it's still continued into the church, and even contemporary artists utilize embeds in their art, and as well as some of the most famous historical artists, Renaissance artists as well.
And I really think this is really fascinating. As you watch the movie, you see many very old pieces of artwork, and there you see the basically the pornographic things that have been done. And certainly one of the crosses there, it's a very, very famous cross, and actually it's been hidden for 700 years by the sisters who recognize the obscenity of it. Only recently, now as we approach this specific time in history, has this cross actually been released, now where it's on public display, with its full obscenity very obvious to those who can see it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that story?
Yeah, essentially one of the finest, most revered Catholic symbols is the San Damiano crucifix. And I came across the San Damiano crucifix many years ago. It's just something that St. Francis of Assisi, it's a famous cross because he apparently prayed to it many years ago, and it said it spoke to him, telling him to rebuild the church, and St. Francis went out and actually physically rebuilt churches, which was not the real message from the cross. He was supposed to rebuild the church spiritually. He misheard the message of Christ because this cross that he was transfixed on had, unfortunately, a phallic symbol in the abdomen. And this is, again, an embedded image, a penis, testicles, and an erect state in the abdomen. Carefully embedded with a lot of saints and other issues around it, so your eye focuses on those saints and misses the embed if itself.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment as we bring another station right on to our network here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest today is Michael Colace, and Michael is a film producer and director who's put together the most unusual film. It's a documentary, and now Michael is coming from a Catholic perspective, and it's a film about obscenity and Catholic art. And Michael had been on my program in the past and asked me to perhaps... have a small part, and we actually comment on some of the psychological games that have been played with the minds of the people. And my personal knowledge, you know, from talking to Father Malachi Martin, you know, about what Father Martin, who had actually worked in the Vatican for many years, knew about some of the dark practices that take care of there, place there. So with that as a background, Michael was telling us about this cross, which goes back to the time of St. Francis of Assisi, which was actually had been very revered at that time. Most people had never recognized that it had an implanted image, a basically obscene, pornographic implant. In fact, it's so dominant, once you see it, it stands right out. But if nobody points it out to you, you have no idea what it's about. And we know that if you read the material, much of what I read written by occultists, they will tell you that they brag about, you know, how they hide things in plain sight, and most people are just too foolish to see them. And what Michael has done with his film is try to show you the embedded images in ancient art, in modern-day art, and how, of course, these are there for specific purposes, and that is to undermine the faith in Christianity. So with that as the background, Michael, you pick up the story.
Yeah, the San Damiano crucifix is the name of the crucifix. It's very well revered in Catholic circles, and it, again, St. Francis prayed to this cross. It told, and his family told him to rebuild the church, but he went out and rebuilt physical churches instead of the spiritual church, so he misheard the message of Christ. But he was transfixed on this cross because he was stimulated by it. You know, St. Francis was a man, and he wasn't a saint as of yet, and men make mistakes, and this was a mistake. And at the same time, another cross was made in the 12th century called the Bigallo crucifix. Same thing, an erection and testicles right on the abdomen of Christ. Very big. It's impossible to miss once it's pointed out, but nobody sees it consciously.
Nobody sees it consciously, and that's really the key to this. These are hidden in plain sight.
Yes, and the thing is, with the San Damiano crucifix, when St. Francis died, the Clare nuns took it out of public view for 700 years. They hid the cross until 1957. The Vatican decides this is the time to bring it out.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment with Michael Colace here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Michael was telling how the nuns, realizing, of course, the obscenity of this cross, this crucifix, had actually hidden it for 700 years. And then in the 1950s, this was brought forth. You see, after hiding it for 700 years, it seems that this is a very important time in history, and certain of the people within the church, probably well recognizing the vile nature of this, have brought it back again. And so much of what's going on today suggests to me, having studied what's going on, that this is a very historic time that we're living in, not only from a political but from a spiritual point of view. So, Michael, you pick up the story of the embedded images that really are there in so much artwork, both Catholic, we're not talking about Protestant, but these same influences are working in the Protestant church as well. Pick up the story, Michael.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to finish up on the San Damiano, the Clare nuns brought it out in 1957. Well, not the Clare nuns themselves, but the original ones, but the order brought it out in 1957 for Holy Week. So, I mean, there's a lot of significance with the dates, times, and places of what's happening. If it was such a magically wonderful cross, obviously it would have been brought out far before that, but people have adopted it. The Franciscans have adopted it, of course, and unfortunately, the Franciscans are mainly a homosexual outfit. I've nicknamed San Damiano cross the gay cross, which is what it really is. It's not necessarily a anti-homosexual thing. What it really is the fact that we have a huge homosexual problem in the church, and the majority, overwhelming majority of Franciscans are homosexuals, and they love this cross. So, with respect to San Damiano, I mention it so much because millions of them have been copied throughout the world. I mean, they're in people's houses. This is a very popular Catholic symbol, and it is one of the greatest symbols that have been fooling people for many years with respect to crucifixes. But there are contemporary artists from, most importantly, the largest Catholic publication in the United States for hymnals and missals, the Oregon Catholic Press, who has put either demonic, suicidal, or sexual imagery on their hymnals and missals that are in the churches, covering two out of every three Catholic churches in the United States. And those particular missals and hymnals have imagery which is felonious. I mean, imagery to make one commit suicide, for example. And the missal right now inside the pews of the churches from the Oregon Catholic Press has the swastika embedded in it, in plain sight. It's very easy to see, and of course the word SEX as well. And that's currently in the pews of two out of every three Catholic churches in the United States.
And of course the average Catholic has no knowledge of what's really going on, and many of the, of course, Catholic leaders who would like to speak out already are afraid to. And in fact, you've actually gone directly to the leaders of the Catholic Church, both in Canada and in the Vatican. Would you tell us a little bit about your efforts to try to bring out and let people within the Church know what was being done?
Yes, well, Rape of the Soul is a film, a story that I sort of backed into. We were making Intimate Fear, which is a family-oriented feature film, because Silver Sword International is our production company, and our motto is merging media with morality. So we were making a family-oriented film, and we were disallowed to be filming a family film in Catholic churches in Toronto. So I felt something had to be wrong. I investigated and found out that the Archdiocese of Toronto, one of the largest in the world, was actually requisitioning, approving, promoting, and executing such imagery, embedded sexual and demonic imagery, in their artwork. And essentially that led into a tremendous amount of findings throughout the world, especially in the United States. I had then tried as much as I could, as a good Catholic, because this Rape of the Soul is not a Catholic bashing film, I have simply tried my best to go internal, and I went to a Monsignor in Canada at the Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops, who advised me to go to the Papal Nuncio, who's the ambassador to Canada from the Vatican, and he then advised me to go to the Cardinal, and then we went to the Vatican. So four different agencies in the Church knew about what was going on and wouldn't even reply, wouldn't even respond. They wouldn't confirm or deny anything, which is what you say in Rape of the Soul in the film, Stan, with respect of confirming or denying that you admit the problem is there. So the websites are still up, and they're handing out calendars with the material in them as well. I tried everything that I could possibly do as a good Catholic, you know, internally, and I kept getting bounced back to another agency each time, but nobody would help me.
And of course, then, of course, you put together this film, and you were able to get support for it. It's a full-length film, about 2 hours. What is it?
2 hours, 20 minutes.
2 hours and 20 minutes, and I've seen it twice now, and it will hold you transfixed. It's opened across America, and of course, everything is being done not to cover this in the major media so far. Certainly, we know that it's being shown in Boston, been fairly well received there, hasn't it?
Yes, it has been. As a matter of fact, it is in the major cities, and we're expanding this Friday, and we plan to go even wider. The major media outlets do have the story, and we expect to have major media coverage. WorldNet Daily did indeed put a review of the film on this weekend, and it received over a million hits, which is quite huge. And, you know, Stan, your book is on WorldNet Daily, and you're in the film, so it's a heck of a connection, with plenty of emails from requests from all over the country. In fact, the world, people asking that we have to show the film in their country, no less their state. So it's been well received by people, and the press developing stories right now. In fact, I've been told that the Boston Globe is going to be doing a story, because Silver Sword International was requested to send pictures of the experts like yourself and myself in the film to do their story. So we're expecting to see some activity with respect to the Boston Globe and other elements as well. Our PR people are working on various media interview scenarios as we speak.
Well, I think that most people find it very difficult to believe that these images could be, you know, embedded. We might imagine it in, you know, in television and things like that, but in Catholic art? And yet, of course, if you read the writings of the Satanists, as I do, they brag about how they, hide these images all the time, and they've been doing it for literally for centuries. And you have a lot of films in there, actually, that are centuries old. And you even talk about Leonardo da Vinci, who, you know, hated the Church, although he was a great artist, and so the Church hired him to do things, but he always had a little twist on things, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Leonardo da Vinci... People don't know the true story of Leonardo da Vinci. It takes quite a while to explain it, but He was a homosexual, but at the same time he was also a pedophile, and he was caught having sex with a young boy, and he kept doing it afterward, found ways around it. I will leave it at that. But people concentrate on his art, but he was really trying to potshot the church. Most Renaissance artists were homosexual that hated the church because the church was against homosexuality. It was the driving force against it. In many cases it was illegal. Certainly with kids it was illegal. And they hated the church. So with respect to the Da Vinci Code, you know, it's a heck of a caper story. Certainly it's not true. But the reason why it's made such a big deal about it today is because Da Vinci loved painting androgynous pictures of saints and people, meaning half man, half woman. And he painted John as a half man, half woman.
That's in the Last Supper. If you ever see it, you see the picture of the Last Supper, you'll realize that he has actually painted John, the beloved disciple, as a woman.
That's right. And he liked that in real life. Da Vinci painted what he liked. He had a real affinity for effeminate men, especially ones that had long, curly hair. So he painted John the Baptist like that. I show that in the film and others. And that's really it. That's the embed with respect to the Da Vinci Code. That's it right there. It's John the Baptist as a woman, just like Da Vinci would have liked it. So that's his pot shot at the church, and that's the entire story of how it's based. But he wasn't alone. There's Albrecht Dürer, who was a follower of Da Vinci, who painted himself as Jesus Christ, himself, and who painted Adoration of the Magi, and Joseph wasn't even there. He wasn't even present. He tried to make you think that Mary was a single mother, that it's just not the scene that you normally see. There were no witnesses. There was just a boy thief. These were ways that Renaissance artists would potshot the church, and it was all based on homosexuality from the beginning.
And, of course, there has been a conspiracy against God for a long period of time, and whether it be the Protestant Church or the Catholic Church, it's there. And we see it manifested now as they try to take Christ out of Christmas. They take, right here in the United States, they've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools and out of our courts and out of our entire governmental structure. And, of course, this is done intentionally. There is a conspiracy against God. When you understand that, everything makes sense. It has nothing to do with the law. It has nothing to do, certainly, with our Constitution. It has to do with the fact that there really are wicked people who hate God and will do everything they can to destroy him. And, of course, then by putting this into the art, it's sort of an inside joke among them, isn't it?
No, that's right, because you know, I'm speaking as an artist. We know it exists. They know it exists. They do it all the time. It's something that they're either paid to do, or they do it because they have that particular feeling, and it has to be something that, if it's religious art, against the church. I mean, many artists make a lot of money doing this in the advertising world, but when it comes to blaspheming Christ, when it comes to the promotion of Satan, demonic forces, it's almost too hard to resist. In the film Bullets Over Broadway that Woody Allen wrote and directed, he wrote a line in there that artists live in their own moral universe. And the character who said that was Rob Reiner, and he said it, and he believed it. So you see, that's the way we think. We think that we're creators, and therefore we can do whatever we want. Now, not for me, because I'm a devout Catholic, I'm a Christian, I believe in Christ, and I don't want to do anything that's immoral. But most artists take that deal. They take the deal with the devil, because we can do something that the devil can't do, and that's create, and he looks to us to create, to do dirty work for him.
And, of course, you show us so often they will put demonic faces into the various artwork. And, of course, they will put all sorts of sexual imagery. And they will use the term, the number, over and over again. 666. They understand the significance of that. We see it. You know, in fact, you see it so many places. They hide it in plain sight, and people do not understand that people on the other side, and there is another side, understand the spiritual battle. The tragedy is because our leaders and the Christian and conservative movement never tell us. Most conservatives and Christians have no idea the battle is even going on. A battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. Well, our guest is Michael Colaci. We're talking about his film, The Rape of the Soul, and certainly, you know, as it's been shown across the country, what sort of response have you gotten from Catholics?
Well, the Catholic response has been initially a knee-jerk reaction that we're Catholic bashing, which is certainly not the case, I mean, not at all. Some Catholics have said, gee, I'm really so happy you're doing this. I really want to know the truth. But the amazing thing is that the film has opened up in select cities, major cities across America, and a lot of people haven't seen it yet. So the people who do see it, they're like, wow, that was incredibly enlightening. And we have to do something about it. And that's what we ask. We ask to fight the good fight, and let's not stand for this. But other people, other Catholics, have no idea what the film really is about, have seen a trailer which is about 1% of the entire length of the film, and they're making judgments of that we're Catholic bashing or attacking the church when we're not. This is a surgical strike. The perpetrators are named. Some of them are lay people. Some are priests. Some are cardinals, bishops. And that's just the way that it is. There unfortunately is evil at all levels of the church. We have an infiltration problem, and there's no way around this. Jesus comes again to save the church. We have to have him do it. We can't do it. We can save souls, as many as we possibly can, but the problem is so bad that it can't be solved by just us. And people who view the film have to understand that, I think.
And I think really interesting, and from an analytic point of view, is the fact that this has been going on for a long time. Everybody knows that there is pedophilia and homosexuality in the Catholic Church, and it has to be at the various highest levels, because until, of course, the lawyers got hold of this and the courts took it on, nobody or very, very few people within the Church would have the courage to do anything about it. And time and time again, in the various dioceses, why they would simply shift the pedophiles from one parish to another, and of course allow them to continue doing exactly what they were doing. Only recently have there been, you know, these massive lawsuits, which really have a tremendous financial impact on the church, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. The one of the archdioceses in the United States is profiled in the film. Several actually are profiled in the film, but the first one that went bankrupt is the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. And it went bankrupt for the very reason you mentioned, Stan, and that is pedophile claims, sexual abuse problems at the archdiocese. And unfortunately, it was William LaVeda, Bishop William LaVeda, who was there for several years back in the 90s, who ran the Archdiocese of Portland and kept shuffling pedophiles and covering up for sexual abuse claims for their priests. And it took quite a toll. And then finally, Cardinal George, who's now in Chicago, before he was Cardinal, went over there and replaced him when LaVeda was promoted to San Francisco. And then LaVeda was promoted to the Congregation Doctor of the Faith, which is the defender of the faith. This is the biggest position that you could possibly have in the church outside of being Pope, by Pope Benedict XVI, and he was just made Cardinal. And his activities in the Archdiocese of Portland left it in such a state that Bishop Vlasny, who's there now, had to declare bankruptcy 2 years ago. He had no choice. And the lawsuit still exists, and LaVeda had to come back twice to give testimony under oath because of what he actually knew about these particular scandals. So it can literally bring down an archdiocese, and has in Portland, and it's went even into Spokane, Washington. That's the second one that declared bankruptcy.
But because my concern is not, you know, about the bankruptcy. My concern is the impact it has on the hearts of the people, of the good people.
Oh, yes.
Hold, just be back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael was just saying that certainly in Portland, Oregon, and in Spokane, Washington, the diocese there, Catholic diocese, had gone bankrupt because of the corruption, because they knew about the pedophilia, and because they covered it up, and now the lawsuits that have come about, and my comment was, but it isn't so much even the money that's lost. It's the impact this is having on the hearts of Catholics who love Jesus Christ and, you know, who certainly then begin to even question their faith because of that. Do you think that's one of the things, you know, that is intended, is to destroy the faith of many people?
Sure, I think it is, too. It's certainly not about the money. It's something that's just newsworthy that it's happened and historically never happened before. But, yeah, it's the people who get hurt, and many people leave the church. I mean, evil has a tremendous impact. They either drive people out of Christianity altogether, and then they practice immoral lifestyles, and they just blame everything on what's happened with the priests, or others stick around and fund the very activities that they shouldn't be funding to begin with. So the people are affected dramatically. Archdioceses like Portland and Spokane and others that have been in trouble, Sure, the masses are not well attended, and it's hurting everything. It's a destruction from within, because the bishops that and cardinals that are at the highest levels of the church have also signed on for these particular deals that occur, where they're actually promoting their own people, and their own people are up to no good.
And of course, if you want to destroy Christianity, you don't destroy it from without, you destroy it from within. And believe me, they're working in the Catholic Church now. They're working in the Protestant Church, too. But that's a little out of the venue here, because we're talking about art. And, of course, what Michael has done, and through the miracle of pictures, he's been able to actually bring these, whether it be the demonic faces or the sexual images out, and you can actually see them. It's so difficult, Michael, for most people actually to see this, isn't it, unless you point it out, and then when you point it out, it's so obvious.
Yeah, absolutely, because what we've done is we've taken the actual images. Again, some of this is very famous historical art from Botticelli, Durer, El Greco, Da Vinci, and contemporary art as well, and you're seeing the picture on the screen, we're talking about it, and you think, okay, well, what's wrong with that? And then right before your eyes, we literally extract these demonic faces, or 666, or satanic faces, and occult symbols right before your eyes, and float them right off the picture and place them on the side so you can see them clearly and still leave them in the picture so you knew where they were. Now, what we've done is we've allowed your conscious mind to see them. And there's a little cluster of cells in your eye called the fovea, which is the size of the head of a pin, and you literally have to strike that little head of a pin right on those images, right on them. And if you don't strike it on those images, right on that little piece, each piece of it, you don't see it consciously. You cannot take in something consciously that you're going to remember and have an effect on you consciously without striking the fovea in that respect. Subconsciously, you take in the entire picture. So we explain this. The film is highly educational. We don't just say, hey, here are the pictures, here it is. There's a story behind it. The scandals are there. And we explain in an educational format how the images affect you physically and, of course, cause and effect as well.
Well, of course, you have William Wilson Bryan Keyes. Dr. Keyes has certainly been an expert on this whole subject of embedded images for a long time, hasn't he?
That's correct. Dr. Wilson Bryan Keyes wrote 5 books on the subject. He's the embedded imagery dean, the definitive word. I've learned from him. I've been doing this myself for about 22 years. He's been doing it for around 40-something years. And he understands and how the mind works and what physically is happening to you when it happens, and has been deciphering embed art in advertising for decades. And he actually was the discoverer of the Bigallo crucifix that we spoke about earlier, where there's an erection in the abdomen of Christ, which is still sitting in the Art Institute of Chicago, by the way, right now. But Dr. Wilson Marquis explains how the physical elements work with respect to embeds. And then, of course, we have other experts, such as Dr. Judith Reisman, who is the foremost expert in pornography, probably in the world, and child psychology, the negative effects of pornography, and has worked for the Department of Justice, Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Education, has written numerous papers for them, and she's in the film explaining the negative effects of pornography and what it does to children. And abuses from both teacher perspective and also from the priests who are taught about pornography in the seminaries. So they're set up when they're around children to perform whatever acts that they might.
Well, of course, our telephone number, if you'd like to give us a call, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And if you have a question or comment for Michael, again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'll be back in just a moment or two to continue this. Remember, the film is rapeofthesoul.com. You can see it right up on the... Go to the website. You can actually see the trailer there, rapeofthesoul.com. And that's really what's going on today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Michael Colucci. And Michael, of course, has produced an amazing film. It's called Rape of the Soul. And it goes really, and basically it's a documentary film. And you will actually see the documentation there of all the things that he talks about, both from the older, from the ancient art, and from the more modern art. And you point out the fact that they love to use the A for Antichrist.
That's correct. The A is the symbol that has been used for centuries. Even well-known artists. We have Botticelli using the A, and Hieronymus Bosch. These guys obviously weren't saints, but they used the A. The A is a symbol for Antichrist, anarchy, the Antichrist, and Botticelli actually put the A inside his stomach, on his stomach, while he's mocking the birth of Christ and staring at the audience, staring outside of his picture. Put himself in the picture with the A in his abdomen, and to blaspheme Christ is that should have been the Antichrist or could have been the Antichrist when the birth of Jesus is right next to him. The A is extremely important, and it's used by artists of today. You'll see in the film the A in the crown of the head of Jesus. So clearly the artist, and again I'm speaking as an artist, we plan every single minute detail to whatever we're doing. Whether we're painting or writing or acting or directing, we just don't throw paint and people around and say, hey, that's the way that happened. We really plan it out. And some of these images, some of these artists, when they're painting, especially the Renaissance type artists and time period artists and mannerism artists, spent years making the painting. Literally years. El Greco, who's profiled in the film, spent sometimes 8 to 10 years making a painting. And the reason why is not because it was so big, is because he was planting embeds inside them. He wanted to make sure that they were correct. And even if he went in the wrong direction, he surely would have stopped and said, well, you know, gee, I made a mistake. Let me cover that up or change that or destroy this. But he continued with the direction that he was with the entire time. So people have to understand, and I'm saying this as an artist, we plan every single minute detail to whatever we're doing. And that people should not think it's any other way.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Eric, who's giving us a call from Compton. Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thanks. Good to hear from you.
Same here. Mr. Colucci, how are you, sir?
I'm very good.
Mr. Colucci, you know, I read a book about 15 years ago by, I forget his name, William Bryant or somebody, I forget, about
Wilson Mahenkey.
That's him.
Yes.
Subliminal message, and I tell you, I was just flabbergasted.
You'll get a chance when you see the film actually to see Wilson Bryan Key, Dr. Wilson Bryan.
Oh, really?
Key.
Yeah.
Yep. He is actually in the film, as is Dr. Judith Wright Reisman and the former head of the. Hang on just a minute. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Eric is calling us from Compton, commenting that he had read the book some years ago by William Wilson Bryan Key, who actually is in the film. He must be in his 80s now, but he's really sort of the expert on these. He's written 5 books on embedded imagery and how advertising uses these images all the time to motivate us, to control us, and to manipulate us. Is that right, Michael?
Absolutely. That's the way advertisers do it. They spend billions every year per industry, making sure that those images don't go out without the embeds properly planted. And Dr. Key, again, writing 5 books on the subject, pinpointing this material, why it's done, where it is. And some of the advertisement embeds are very high-level embeds. We rate them from 0 to 10, 0 meaning that they're right there, plain as day to see them. There's not faint, they're not blurred in any way, they're not using some of the techniques of camouflage. But a level 10 embed is something that is very faint or very more difficult to see, but it's certainly still there. And advertisements contain usually the higher level embeds. And religious art, however, contains the lower level embeds that are easy to see. We show the majority of those of 0, 1, 2, 3 low level embeds in the film because the artists are counting on the emotional element of religion to dissuade you from thinking that there could possibly be something in there.
And I really was fascinating. You know, when you see this picture, you assume it's Christ, a very handsome bearded man, and you miss the demonic face that is, of course, embedded in his sleeve. I thought that was really so clever. And, of course, these people have a fascination with demonology and with demonic faces and satanic faces and satanic symbols. Eric, did you have anything else you'd like
Absolutely.
To say?
Absolutely. I was so taken by that book, Dr. Stan. I'm not much of a book reader. I'd rather listen to you guys and watch videos but I was so taken by it, I went out and bought a second book by him. That's the kind of impact it had on me. What I wanted to ask Michael is, my friend and I, he has this ministry to Jehovah Witnesses, and he came into some information about that type of imagery on the cover of the magazines that they sell just within the last couple of months. Is there anything in the film about the pictures on the magazine covers, or is it just specifically the Catholic Church?
It's really the Catholic Church.
It's basically the story is how it started in the church, but I can tell you this much, that I have seen, indeed, absolutely, positively, have seen embedded images in Jehovah Witnesses' work. I absolutely have seen it. I've seen it in the Watchtower. Yeah. I've seen it in their guides. The film is based on a story of how I backed into this in major Catholic art and Catholic-related artwork for contemporary artists, priests, etc. But the other religions are not exempt, and certainly the Jehovah Witnesses are not exempt. I've seen it all over there. The A for Antichrist, the horn, Satanic S.
Yes, it's all there.
It's all in there.
I will be getting your movie.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, is it going to be playing in Los Angeles at all, Michael?
Yes, it's playing in Los Angeles right now at the Fairfax 3 in Los Angeles, and it was the number one movie in that theater complex last weekend and performed extremely well this weekend, and it's continuing this week all the way into next weekend at the Fairfax 3, and it opens up in Orange County in Tustin at the Edwards Regal 6, the Marketplace 6 in Tustin, which is in Orange County.
How long do you estimate it's on video so I can buy it and pass it around?
Well, first, in the film business, we have the theatrical release, and you could expect it to kind of be in theaters for, I don't want to say quite a while, but sometimes a theatrical run can take several weeks, if not months. And then after that, the DVD release would occur, and then you'll be able to have it on DVD for yourself.
Okay. Well, okay, thank you, sir.
Thanks,
Dr. Stan. Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, our telephone number is, if you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And if you have a question for Michael, I will tell you that I flew, it was about a week and a half ago back to New York City, and I spent a week there with Michael. We actually had the opportunity to see the film twice, and I think that I enjoyed it more the second time. Of course, the second time, it was on the big theater, and the big screen theater, and it is really a very, very powerful motion picture. If people understood what they're doing to our minds, if people understood that there really is a conspiracy against Christianity, all branches of Christianity, and of course I think many times the Protestants sit back and sort of, you know, smile at all the troubles in the Protestant Church without ever realizing, the Catholic Church, without ever realizing we've got very real problems in the Protestant Church as well. So anyway, of course, this is an effort really to bring this out and hopefully to begin to correct the problem, really to force people in key positions to acknowledge what's going on. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think that no doubt about it, it is managed. I think we have to remember that. It is something that is managed so exceedingly well that people have to understand that not only do the highest levels of the church know what's going on, they promote from within, and the material is bought and paid for, and they utilize the same practitioners. They utilize the same people. The Oregon Catholic Press, as I mentioned earlier, with horrific art, from suicide to demonic art to sexual art, right in the pews of churches, utilizes artists that are known embed artists, like Brother Steve or Spammer, a Marianist brother who's been painting demonic artwork and sexual artwork for decades. And they have to go to him. They use him to put the material on their hymnals and missals, for example. And then the pastors have to go to the Oregon Catholic Press, for example, the biggest publisher there is, to buy the material. So it's well planned. It's well planned. It's not something that people just happen to do by mistake. They know what they're doing the entire way through.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Herman calling from Carmel. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Great. I have a question. I have a good friend who's Mormon, and he is staying with their faith because he said they're moving more towards the Bible and Christianity. But in your researches, did you come across symbols embedded in the Mormon art?
Well, not directly in Mormon art, but I will tell you this, that it's dangerous to start playing with symbols that have double meanings to them. I mean, when you start dealing with the inverted pentagram, which is, you know, that is the star pointing 33 degrees directly to one side pointing down. And that is one of the showcase symbols in Mormon, the Mormon religion, Mormon art. It's on the temple in Salt Lake City. There are images that certainly can. I have not studied the Mormon church art, but I have seen images that I wouldn't, as a filmmaker, ever put those images in a film because they have an alternative meaning. It's not appropriate, I would think, not to do that. Jehovah Witnesses, which many people say, and Stan, you're probably better equipped to answer that as far as the combination of effects between the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons. Some people say it's almost the same organization. I don't know that for a fact, but I have seen images, tremendous amount of images in the Jehovah's Witnesses, of especially demonic faces and occult symbols.
Well, they both have their origin within Masonry, Sherman. Any other questions you'd like to ask?
Well, what do you say to somebody who says, look, I go to church, I don't really look for these symbols, I go there to worship God, my heart is pure, how could this possibly affect me, and nothing in this world is untainted, and you're making a big to-do about nothing?
Right. That's a very, very powerful question.
Yeah,
how would you deal with that, Michael?
Because the thing is, we're not making a big to-do about nothing. It is substantiated. It's a tremendous amount of information. Your heart is good. You go to church. I go to church. I do the same thing. I have four young children. We go to Mass. And you have to get the right priest. But I'm telling you, when you go to Mass and you have symbols that shouldn't be there, faces or demonic faces or satanic symbols in church, you have to speak up about it, because chances are, yes, your heart's good, but it's being misled. And if you're Catholic like me, the Mass becomes invalid if you happen to have a priest that is improperly performing the Mass, where the host is not properly being consecrated, for example. It's not good enough just because you're good. You have to have the people that you're with and the people who are performing the Mass, the ministers and the priests, they have to be good as well. They can't be sitting there preaching Jesus, and then there's an underlying message of evil. I mean, you don't have to look that far in Los Angeles, for example. I mean, Cardinal Mahoney, one of the worst in history. In history. We could talk about that, Stan, for probably a month worth of shows. And he talks about Jesus. I've been to Mass. I've heard Cardinal Mahoney talking about Jesus. It all sounds all nice, but he's really not the right guy. So you have to do something about that. It's not good enough that you're going there thinking that you're absorbing what's good in his message when the underlying message is evil.
Amen to that. Anyway, anything else, Herman?
Do you see any problems with Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion?
No, I don't, because Mel Gibson did what I'm doing here, which is he spoke the truth in public. And that's all you can ask, because that's what Jesus did and wants us to do as followers of Christ. He wants us to speak the truth in public. And if you do that, you're in good standing with Christ. That's really all that Mel Gibson did. He did it in his artistic fashion, his way, the way he may have interpreted some of the things that happened. But the story wasn't told in the same way. It was told in the most truthful way that he believed it was. But he did it for the love of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that film. He did a fantastic job. And there's no other way to look at that. So I don't have any problems with what he did. I don't think he was stoking up anti-Semitism or anything else. He just simply told it the way that it was. And sometimes when you speak the truth, people, it hits like a cold fist in the night, and people don't want to hear that.
Amen to that. I think you did a great job, too. Anyway, thanks very much for calling, Herman.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. And I tell the phone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Our guest is Michael Colazzi, and we're talking about his film, Rape of the Soul, and certainly the marquee that you have that is actually in the theater, I'm sure is what gets many, many people to go to see it.
Yeah, the marquee is is quite eye-catching. I remember standing at my desk after we had filmed You, Stan, in Chicago, and I thought, well, we need a poster, which in the film business is called a one-sheet, and it just hit me. I sat down and I sketched out something, and that's what we used for the poster, and it is the chair, similar to the chair of St. Peter where the Pope sits, and it has an upside-down cross, which is, again, inappropriate. It has a double meaning. Satanists use the upside-down cross. I don't believe the church should be utilizing the upside-down cross, even though Peter was crucified upside down. That's not a valid excuse. It has too much of an evil meaning to it. So I put this in chair, and I have three child skeletons, hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil, and they're dressed in bishop mitre hats and robes and slippers. I'm trying to show that these guys are unfit for the chair. There are too many evil bishops. It's not, again, a broad attack against Catholicism, Christianity, or the bishops, but believe me, you'll be finding way more than three bad bishops, and it's designed, obviously, to spur emotion. Religion is an emotional element in itself, and people miss the embeds of demonic faces and the occult symbols and the sexual symbols simply because of the emotional element of religion. But certainly it has, Stan, without a doubt, gotten a tremendous amount of attention. In fact, it angers people because they think that automatically we're bashing the bishops or what have you. But it's a heck of a one sheet, heck of a poster. And when you go to the website, rapeofthesoul.com, you will see that on the website as well.
And of course, the initial Monsignor you went to, really, I was very, really, of course, horrified. He really wanted something to be done. And he was, of course, up there in Canada, but there was nothing he himself could do. And so, you know, he tried to help you get to the right people, but the right people obviously didn't want to hear your message.
That's right. It's a shame, too, because Monsignor Peter Schoenebach in Canada, the equivalent of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, he was at the CCCB, the Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops, and he really tried to help me. He really gave me the people to talk with, and he was horrified when he finally saw that original image of demonic faces, devil faces, and masturbation right through the Archdiocese of Toronto. He was horrified. But the one thing that he didn't do, which he really needs to do or should have done, he should have jumped in himself. He should have called Cardinal Ambrosic at the Archdiocese of Toronto and said, you know something, this guy's got something, and we have to stop it. And he didn't do that. He directed me. He was surprised nobody would help me, but he really didn't do anything himself. He couldn't break this code that we have in the Catholic Church among priests. You can't go and show something on another priest, and you couldn't even bring this up to the cardinal. So, and he knew him personally. So you'll find that a lot. And for the Catholics out there, don't expect bishops and priests to automatically take what you tell them and expect them to do the right thing. They just don't do the right thing. They're not going to take the matter in their own hands and actually solve the problem. They're going to cover it up, and because of that, we've become the biggest bunch of carpet sweepers in the history of organized religion in the Catholic Church.
All right, well, let's go to Nancy, who's calling us. And Nancy, where are you calling from?
Yes, from Marina.
Okay, fine. Did you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I was wondering if your guest had seen that there's a statue, I believe it's called the Baby Jesus of Prague, and it's the way that he holds his hand up with the two fingers is actually like a symbol of the devil. Has he noticed that one yet?
Do you know that one?
Well, actually, that's a fallacy, believe it or not. That is actually okay. That is the infant of Prague, and it's the baby Jesus. And when he holds his hand up like that, puts his two fingers, the index finger and his middle finger, together like that,
yeah,
that's okay, actually. He's designing himself into the sign of the cross. That is not a satanic hand gesture, not at all.
Okay.
It's actually good. There are satanic hand gestures that are manipulated, and I actually show several of them in the film, as you know, Stan. One of them that you have to watch out, there's a picture of the infant Jesus on St. Joseph as he's holding the infant Jesus, but the infant Jesus is actually a little girl wearing a straw hat, and her left hand is doing a satanic hand gesture, which is the pinky and thumb being held out, and the middle finger, index finger, ring finger together, sort of like a little airplane type of thing, squashed together. That is a very little-known satanic hand gesture. That's something that you have to look at, as well as that hook 'em horns type of thing with the when you bring your two fingers in and the index finger and pinky come out. But the infant of Prague is not making a satanic hand gesture.
Okay.
And
right.
There's so much of this out there, and but you really need somebody to sort of guide you through it. And Michael has really dedicated himself totally to this. He's taken a tremendous chance and committed himself and the people who are working with him. What they've done, of course, is expose a tremendous evil within one of the most powerful organizations in the world today.
Yes.
Anything else, Nancy?
No, other than I was just really surprised when this show came on, because I think I have seen some of these strange imageries that he's talking about on the missiles, and so it just kind of shook me up, you know. But
Nancy, don't lose your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it's really all about.
I thank you.
God bless, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Nancy calling from Marina, and we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up today's program. And once again, the website to go to is rapeofthesoul.com. That's www.rapeofthesoul.com. A fascinating motion picture. I can hardly wait until we get it on DVD, but right now it is being shown in select films all across America, and I recommend the programs to you. We'll be back in just a moment with Michael to we're going to wrap up the program. Well, Michael, we've got about 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program for us.
Well, thanks again for having me, Stan. I appreciate it. You've done a great job in the film, and we obviously look to expand theatrically, and we are doing so coming up this weekend, and we look to have a significant amount of publicity, national publicity, as mentioned earlier. And to people out there of faith, you have to fight the good fight. We, in the film, as you know, have a couple of closing arguments for each expert in the film, and it has to do with awareness and education. We have to make sure that when someone is explaining the way things are, explaining the truth, that we can't run from that. We have to make sure that we understand it as truth, and that even though the truth might hurt, even though this is a surgical strike against identified perpetrators within the church, surgery hurts. It's not something that is going to be painless, and I can't sugarcoat that for you. You're going to be seeing things that you've never seen before. You're going to look at historical art that you've seen in the past, and it's all of a sudden it's not the way that it is. It's almost rewriting history because we've been told reviews and things that are just incorrect. And you're going to see images of Christ that you don't normally want to see, him performing sex acts. Again, it's artwork. It's not like a video or something like that. But it's been drawn by priests and brothers and people that you just don't want to have this happen. But you have to know the truth. And I think the audience needs to know, it's always better to know the truth. You have to find out the truth. And when it's explained to you in the way that we've explained it, with the expertise of Dr. Wilson Bryan-Key, Mark Oster, who we didn't mention, another expert who explains hypnosis and how you can become mesmerized from the particular images, and of course, Dr. Stan Montes, Dr. Wilson Bryan-Key, and myself explaining the artwork, we're explaining things to you in a very educated fashion, very calmly, and we have the evidence, we have the pictures, we have the written documents, and we show things in a way it's never been seen before. In fact, the technology didn't even exist in the past where we could have went in and took a film of this magnitude and put it together like this just to extract the images for you and show you where they are so you can go back there and now see them forever consciously. So the real warning here for people is to, you're about to hear bad news, but sometimes bad news turns out to be good because of the fact that you're looking and you're seeing this in a truthful way, and you need to know the truth, and that's what we're really after.
God bless you. Thank you for everything you're doing, Michael, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the not-too-distant future, and I appreciate everything you've done.
Thank you, Stan.
Good night, and God bless. All right, fine. Well, our guest has been Michael Colazzi. And, of course, his movie is Rape of the Soul. And I think I hope you can see it on the big screen. It was sort of fun to see him, me on the big screen. But even I hope you'll get it when it comes out in DVD form. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And once again, if you'd like to see the trailer on this, why, it's at www.rapeofthesoul.com. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. Christianity is under attack today. Now, if you'd like more information, of course, you should read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. I hope that by the end of next week, I will have pretty well filled up the orders for our cases of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you'd like to get a case of the books, or nearly, the book sells for $12.95. You can get 64 of the books for $149.95, and you can sell the books. You can do whatever you want to with them. We want you to get them out. Of course, we want you to buy it so we can finance the reprinting of the book, and we want to do a large reprinting. Now, actually, the book is being featured by some of the major ministries in America. We want to get a lot of copies out because it begins to introduce people to this whole other world that's out there. The satanic world and the other dimension. And there really are people who are in contact with other dimension, who are driven by the other dimension, and their goal is to destroy America. And, of course, they're doing a pretty good job. And, of course, they relish in horror. They relish in war. They relish in disease. They relish in famine. And they are doing everything they can to destroy God's highest creation, which is mankind. And when you begin to understand this, you can begin to understand what's going on. If you'd like to get a case of my book, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and when we have the appropriate number of orders, why, the order will be closed until we have to do another printing, maybe in a year or two. And then, of course, if you have not seen my DVD or video, Plan Population Reduction, you need to get it. Why do you need to get it? Why, very simply, because you need to understand what they're doing and how they are intentionally harming your family, your children, and you. It's not simply by accident. We have 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease. You see these ads for these wonderful medicines for herpes, genital herpes. And the woman says, I haven't had an outbreak for 6 months. Isn't it wonderful? And her whole life, in many ways, has been destroyed. And you have to understand, over 500,000 people have died of AIDS, and another million are infected, and right here in America. And these things didn't happen by accident. Where did the disease come from? There are actually 8 different types of HIV. Where did they all come from? All spontaneously just occurred at one time in history? Or is this a created disease? I think you'll be fascinated by the presentation entitled The Planned Population Reduction video or DVD, my talk on the world revolution. I recommend it to you. It will give you an excellent overview, and it actually contains my interview that I did back in 1980 with Ambassador Smith, a multi-billionaire I interviewed in Palm Beach, Florida. And we took a film crew down there, and you'll actually see my interview with him as he tells you how our government intentionally brought Fidel Castro to power, knowing he was a communist. And, of course, we've created the best enemy money could buy, but we're doing that now with Islamic terrorism, with the Islamic religion. We're creating an enemy, and we're recruiting people into this radical form of Islam by what we're doing in the Middle East. And when we go to war with Iraq, and believe me, we are going to war with Iraq sooner or later, when we go to war with Iraq, we will inflame the entire Muslim world. And this is exactly what they want. If you'd like to know more, you'd really need to get my newsletters. If you'd like a copy of my February newsletter, which addresses this subject, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927 or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can actually pull down all of our newsletters there free of charge. If you'd like to know the background of the 9/11 attack, we have 3 pamphlets called Foreknowledge 911. You'd like to understand what's happening with money, we have a little inexpensive pamphlet, $3.95 for this one pamphlet, The History of Money, The Difference Between a Republican and a Democracy, We Are a Republic, the Genetically Engineered Diseases, we have one of those, we have a 3-tape set on the occult hierarchy, and so much more. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. Our number, and then pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty.